All right, let's start today by reading from the book of John chapter 3. We have been speaking about truth and life. And don't forget what we have said, that life has an order and God made it in a particular order. I can't just help but comment about this. For all the faith I have in Barack Obama, I lost total faith in him, and I pray to God he loses the next election. You don't have to say amen. It's my personal opinion. You know how much I loved him till now. Then he opened his mouth, and all the respect I had for him vanished through the other side. Truth is not how I feel. Truth is what is true. And what is true is that which God says is true. If God says, I created this thing this way, that's just the way it is. 260 million Americans cannot gather and say it's not like that. They did not create it. They did not. So what we are saying is this. Jesus said, I am the way. John chapter 14 again. Don't bother opening to it. I'm just referring to it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What he was saying is this. If you are going to experience the Father, your life must conform with truth. Truth is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And that word became flesh and dwelt amongst us and said to us, I am the way, the truth. That is, the word of God is the truth. The reference for what is right and what is wrong is what God says about it, not how I feel about it. And if I want God to be manifested in my life, what I do is to conform my life to his word. That's what it is. It's not what is popular. No, I always like to use marriage as my example here, which is what I wrote in that book, Should I Say Yes? Even though everybody in your society say this is how marriage should be done, if that's not what God says, you will never experience the fullness of what he called marriage. And I said something last time, that because Moses said to Israelites, he said, you can divorce your wife if you wish. Just give a certificate of divorce. You will notice that everybody who believed Moses never had the true marriage that God created, even though they were obeying what appeared like the truth. But that truth was inferior to the truth. And when the truth came, he said, that was given to them not because God does not know what is right, or Moses couldn't decipher it, but because of the hardness of their hearts. So if your hard heart does not allow you to imbibe truth, and that's what I want to talk about today, the hindrances to truth, all right? If your hard heart does not allow you imbibe truth in its accuracy, then it is preventing you from re-experiencing the blessing of God in that regard. And I said something last time, that every time you walk away from truth, you walk into a curse. There's something he said, but let's start from that. That's the message for today, the book of John chapter 3. He said, he that doesn't believe is condemned already. That is, truth is what sets free. It is not prayer. I said to you all last time, that you are set free to be able to serve God. Truth is the foundation for the prayer you will pray. Prayer doesn't set you free. It is truth that sets you free. Let's start from the book of John today, chapter 3. Let me start from verse... I said to you that today I'm talking about the hindrances to truth, or more like hindrances to deeper truth. Because we have been talking about... Let me just say this so that I can connect this and I read it. Last time I said that truth has levels, just like I referred to now. Moses told them you could divorce; they could divorce their wives and give certificates of divorce. But we said when the Lord Jesus, the truth himself came, he said that's not accurate. So those who adhered with the words of Moses there did not experience the deeper thing that God wanted them to experience. So our attempt in life as Christians should be to go for the deeper things of God. We said the cedars in Lebanon, what happened was that they grew very, very tall because they sank their roots down, the Bible says, to deep waters. So the deeper in the truth with God you go, the more you experience the power of God in your life. We'll be explaining that. Now, so today I'm talking about the hindrances to deeper truths. That is, there are reasons why Christians won't go for the things that are deeper so that their lives can become richer with God. And to establish that, let's begin from the book of John chapter 3 here. And I'll just read from verse 17. Just after verse 16, which we all know. He said, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Verse 18 now says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already. That's what I was saying. So if you are not adhering to truth, you are walking in a curse. I said to you before, a Christian is not cursed, except he walks away from the truth of God. All right, so he says, he that does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And verse 19 says, and this is the judgment. Now please listen to this. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. My emphasis, verse 19. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. This is the judgment. The light came, but they rejected light because they preferred darkness. And that's what we're talking about, the hindrances to deeper truth. Another scripture I should read before I get into my discussion. The book of Luke chapter 7. The point I would like to make from this book of Luke chapter 7 is the fact that when it comes to truth, you cannot jump from one level to another without passing through an intermediate level if it's present. What I mean is that one of the reasons why people can't appreciate truth is that they want to choose the one they will accept and choose the one they will reject. Sometimes these truths are tied to each other. And for you to get into one level, you must pass through a particular one. Now, the book of Luke chapter 7, you see something here. After the people came to Jesus Christ from John the Baptist to inquire of him, and they asked him, are you the one to come, or we shall expect another? After he had answered them and they left, he began to pass a comment on the person of John. In verse 24, the Bible says, and when the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the multitudes about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? Then he said a lot of things about John. In verse 28, I say to you, among those born of women, which is everybody, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now this is my emphasis, verses 29 and 30. He said, and when all the people and the tax gatherers heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. Now, I said I'm talking about hindrances to deeper truth. Why is it that Christians, all right, don't go for deeper truth? Why is it that they don't, tune their hearts to receive? Or why is it that they don't have the ability to receive the deeper things of God? Now, remember what we said? You cannot just hang on one particular level and think your life will be good. This is how it is. The bigger you grow in God, the more solid the thing you are hanging on should be. Last time I talked about the cork that landed on a rope. And I talked about on what do you stand. That is, as Christians, your life must always be getting deeper in God as you discover deeper truths about him. You must never be content with this is all I know, and that's how it is. I like one thing Mike Murdock said once. He said that he heard a man say that if I had to start ministry all over again, I would do everything the same way I did it before. He said what that means is that you have not learned anything over the last 30 years. The man has been in ministry for 30 years. He said it means you have not learned anything. And it's not possible for a Christian, for a human being, not to learn anything in the course of life if he's being honest and sincere with himself. There are things, just for this, the few years I've been doing this, there are things I look back and say, if I had to start that again, even if I had to choose the name of a ministry, I may even choose it differently today because I've come to understand some things, all right, in a deeper fashion than I understood them before. So that's it. As Christians, we must always go for deeper truths. We must always seek to understand. And what I'm talking about today is why is it that people don't do this? Why? I'm just going to start talking. I don't really have a specific order to it. I'll just speak about many things as they come to my mind. Number one thing I want to talk about is laziness. What did I call it? Simple laziness. You know, I said something earlier, that President Barack Obama and other Americans are telling us that people were born homosexual, so they should be free to practice homosexuality. I said, in that same way, we can also say, a man was born blind, we should allow him to do the things that people who have two eyes, right, also do, just because he was also born like that. Now, I'm not making an issue here. One of the things, you've heard me comment about it quite a lot, one of the things you hear all the time is when Christians make statements like this, that, oh, you like to read. I don't like to read. Are you getting what I'm saying? Once I was with a friend. This guy had a lot of CDs, a lot of audio CDs, Christian music, plenty of it. And we're talking. And I had a lot of books, plenty of books and plenty of messages. Plenty of it. Are you getting my point? And he decided that, you like to read. He said, I'd rather listen than read. And I said to him, if you're talking about listening to messages, I will understand. But talking about listening to music, that means you don't understand that which is valuable. I don't understand whether you are following what I'm going to explain. Now, what I want to bring out there is when people tell me that you like to do this. Once I was listening to a message, it was Bishop Oyedepo then, I was in my office in Lagos. And one fellow who works in the same hospital came to me and said, Pastor, you always, no, he said, Doc, that you're always listening to messages. Do you want to be a pastor? And I was grieved. And I answered him in my grief. You understand what I'm saying? I was really angry. Because I wasn't listening to the messages because I wanted to be a pastor. I wasn't cramming what to go and preach. I was being blessed. I was listening to the words because they were transforming my life. And I looked at him and said, you happen to go to this same church. Don't you listen when this man is talking? So as far as it's concerned, you listen to messages if you are planning to go and preach to somebody. You know what I'm going to explain? There's nothing like, I don't like to read. There's a story I told here some time ago. I read in this book, Money Won't Make You Rich, by Sunday Adelaja. Now, Sunday Adelaja says something about, listen to this, so this story is very instructive. A pastor, the guy that was in ministry, who was very poor, now listen to this, who was only half literate, who moved from one rural area or somewhere in Ukraine and came to their church. And there's this series of messages he used to preach on financing, on finances. And he explained how to handle money, what God says about money, how you should do business as a Christian and all of that. And they had a set of those tapes. And this pastor that was hardly literate, who was very poor, had little money, literally sold what he had. Are you getting my point? And bought those tapes, bought the messages, and went home and began to listen to them. He said this guy was not very good. That's why I emphasized the fact that he was only half literate. Therefore, maybe a message a normal person would listen to once and grab at least the grammar correct, you know, the physical meaning, the letters. He would have to listen like 3 or 4 times to get what they are saying. But he didn't give up. In 2 years, he was a millionaire. Did you hear what I said? If it is natural, what is natural? The man was not, it wasn't a matter of natural listening. The man understood that if I don't connect with truth, my life will remain on the same level. He said the fellow collected the messages and kept on listening. He kept on listening until those words penetrated by force into his heart. And before I go, I hope I remember, we'll read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. In the Amplified Bible, not any other translation. It has to be the Amplified. For you to get what he's saying. Now, you know what I'm trying to emphasize this? That there's nothing like, you know, I don't like to read. Anytime I hear it, it annoys me. That's the only way I can say it. You know, I was, where was I a few days? Okay, in my office. Somebody said something that, you know, not my office. I was talking with two people, two lawyers actually, One of them was Gozi. So one lady that was there was saying that she's not been feeling well, one of his colleagues, and that, you know, I don't like taking medicine. And Gozi said something, was actually angry. He said, I hate hearing this thing. Those who take it, who told you they like it? I don't, you know, I'm not trying to explain that, you know, some people are better tolerant than others. But that statement he made is very correct. He said, those who take it, do you think they just wake up in the morning and just say, you know, I'm adding to it now. They just wake up in the morning and say, wow, don't take away my wax on medicine last two. How far? You know what I'm saying? Find me small medicine now. You get Panadol for there. You have a headache. No. You know, when I take Panadol, it makes me feel airy. You know that kind of thing? No. What he was trying to say is that they are sick. That's why they take the medicine. Because they know this is what I need to cure my ailment. And listen to all this, I don't like taking medicine. I don't like taking medicine. The truth is that you're not feeling too bad about that sickness. When serious matter jam. Oh boy. Okay, don't let me say everybody. Most people will endure, and that's one thing. The Bible does not say you should enjoy everything. There are things he says you should just simply what? Endure. You are following the point I'm making. So if you say that, I don't like taking medicine. Those who take it, then they like it. When it comes to the word of God, when it comes to learning, not just the word of God, I'm saying, okay, we respect the word of God. No, I'm talking about learning it. There's nothing like, I like it. You know, you're planning to be a pastor. That's why you are reading so much. Grace is the power of the life of the believer. And you don't tap into grace except you tap into truth. There's something you find in wisdom. He said in Proverbs, talking about wisdom, he said, those who diligently seek me, they are the ones that find me. I said something to us last time. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that he showed his acts to the children of Israel, but his ways he showed to Moses. And for a long time, I was wondering how come he made up his mind that I will show this to Moses and not the other people. Until one day I discovered that Moses actually prayed and said, Lord, show me thy ways. Are you getting my point? That is, he wasn't content with just, you are part of the Red Sea. He has seen so many miracles. He was tired of miracles. I don't know whether you're getting my point. There was nothing new again. If it's water, give me that stick. Thank you. Give me that stick. Go and drink. You know, if I had got so used to it, one day God told him, speak to the rock. He forgot. He was used to it. He just took the stick. They've come again. Don't be water. What I'm trying to say is that he was used to it, but he was not satisfied with it. Are you getting my point? Therefore, he simply prayed and said, Lord, show me your ways. I want to understand. And God said, fine. If that's what you want, that's what you will get. And listen, God always proves the intensity of your desire. Yes, he will. Some time ago, you know, now this happened twice in my life. Now, once when I was in Lagos, those days I'll go to the shops. I used to buy a lot of books. I still have a lot of them. Now, because bros, that is, this guy didn't have too much money, so we had to be very, very wise when it came to allocating resources to different books. So my friend John and I found an easy way to do it. If he's find a book written in America, he just dropped it. You know, that is what's the big deal. Because one, those days now, 200 naira then is different from 200 naira now. So one of those books will be 200 naira. The same size of book, the same, you know, volume of material. If it's printed locally, it will be something like 40 naira, you know, 25, 40 naira. If I haven't bought a book printed by Francois Lioki's ministry, a book by A.W. Tozer for 7 naira. I still have it in my house. 7 bucks. Keys to Spiritual Power. So there were things like that. So John and I would just look and say, waiting, anointing, anointing. You all carry our come out, you know, buy the cheaper books. Get my point. When I'm talking about cheaper books, I don't mean nonsense books. I'm talking about books by John G. Lake. They were printed locally. They had some of them were printed by anybody, you know what I'm saying? But some they had rights and they printed them locally. And we didn't care. Even if it's photocopied locally, we will read it. It's the word of God. And you know my opinion on such things. I don't feel bad about it at all. Then one day, something struck me. All Ken Hagin books we had that were on display were from America. So they were all expensive. So we go there. Our eyes will run through them. We wanted to read, though. But you go check the price, 200. Then you look beside you. One powerful G-Lake, 35 naira. Say, bro, Higgy, we'll go see you another time. I beg, man, if I prosper rich to read that one, we'll buy the G-League. But this is what I'm making. Of course, as time was going on, little by little, God will give you extra money here and there. Then one day, I stopped and told myself, you don't buy this book, you won't know what is inside. Are you getting my point? It's 200 naira, while the other ones are 10, 20, 40 naira. But what is inside is only inside. You are not buying the other ones because they contain the same thing. Right now, you are doing simple opportunity cost. I said, but listen, no, you may need that which is inside that book. And I remember that day, I borrowed the money that day. Just to break, you know, sometimes you have to forcefully break yourself out of a cycle of poverty. Are you getting my point? Just to break myself out of that cycle. I got up, collected all the money I could. When they bought all the Carnegie materials, the money I had, could buy. I went back home and said, praise God. Like, yes, I've conquered it. Are you getting my point? I've conquered that mindset. I've conquered that mentality. Recently, again, that's the second time in my life that it happened. Again, I wanted some Carnegie materials that are not available. Tapes now, DVDs and audio. All right? I have a lot of his books. But I just wanted the audios because the man really is a blessing. If you listen to him, his words really are very rich. All right? When he talks very slowly, but you really be blessed. So after a while, I told myself, wait, Pastor Banky, if you need a wristwatch, where does it come from? United States of America. If you need a new laptop, where does it come from? United States of America. Even when I need car parts sometimes, vehicle parts. Now, listen, the car my wife was using before, shock absorbers needed to be replaced. I had a friend of mine help me buy them from the United States. He got to the airport. They said, no, shock absorbers don't go onto passenger jets. He called me from there on the phone. The option we had was to abandon them there and lose our money. So he had to quickly call his sister who managed to get him before the flight took off to take it back from him and return them to her house until they were shipping things down in containers. It took at least 6 months. I finally got my shock absorbers. Shock absorbers. Parts of a vehicle. And yet, I'll sit down there and say, I can't find Ken Hagen tapes. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll sit down there and say, I for like if they find me this TTJX material. The main issue is that I had gotten spoiled. You know, I got spoiled. Pastor Banky CDs, how much is it here? 50 naira. 1 hour, 20-minute message. How much? 50 naira. If it's MP3, 200 naira will change you. You know, you get, it's not 180. And on average, you get between 4, and that's the smallest one, contains 4 or 5 messages. Some contain up to 15. How much? 180 naira. Those things, you know, they're inside your mind. When you want to buy one Kenneth Hagin CD, you're talking $15 or $10. How much is that? $10 is 1,600 naira. And it's just a 1 hour message. So unconsciously in your mind, you feel it's too expensive. So that day I told myself, I ran to nonsense. I settled down, ordered materials from Kenneth Hagin alone worth about $400. Ordered Jack Hayford materials. By the time we finished ordering everything, it came down, I can't remember for sure, but it came to the neighborhood of 100,000 naira. I called my friend, Jukes. Oh boy, they won't take my card from Nigeria. I just told him simply, please, help me pay for these things. I remember, I think he paid about $700 for those materials for me. When they came down here, you know me, we ripped all of them and packed them on computer here. Israel has them, Inka has them, everybody who wanted, all right, has. But what did I do to myself? I wasn't doing it for Israel. I wasn't doing it for myself and for Chidedum. I wasn't doing it for Inka. I was doing it for myself. To break that idea, you understand that it's expensive. I can buy shock absorbers throughout the hassle from the United States. I want things, I buy them online. If I can, if they won't accept the cards from Nigeria, I call my friend in the US. Get me this book. Get me this stuff. Get me this. They will pay for it. They will reconcile our accounts later. I will give them their money back. I said, but why is it that when I want to buy materials, unconsciously I will tell myself they're expensive. I said, God was saying, Ifebanki, if you can't pay 50,000 naira for a message, then you are saying nobody should. Because for the amount of understanding I have given you concerning the importance and the amount of resources I have given in your command concerning achieving the purchase, you shouldn't see anything like that again. You are getting the point I'm making. I think the major problem is that we don't value truth. We don't value it. I told you, my wife, she's selling things to somebody. Somebody will pay 20,000 naira to wear a shirt and tie and trousers. And they say, buy book. He said, dash me now. The book is 300 naira. Because really, it's a matter of fact. It's a sign that you don't value it. Let me say it again. The major problem is that Christians are lazy. One of the reasons why they can't imbibe truth is that they hate to think. Listen, thinking is it consumes energy. I hope you know that. It consumes energy. It puts a lot of responsibility upon you. I've had discussions with Christians before. You are talking, they say, I don't care. I don't care. That is, you want to engage them in the discussion? No, please don't make me think. I don't have to go over it again. We've already said that anybody can be wrong. Some people, their problem is their institution. This is our church's position. You understand my point? So if they think too much, they may discover that the great bishop is wrong. And because they don't realize, they think it has undermined his authority throughout in their lives. No, it hasn't. Nobody is right entirely. Nobody. What I want to explain, number one reason why people can't go, maybe that is number one we're discussing today, why people can't go for deeper truth is because they are spiritually, mentally lazy. And what's my preaching to you today? Don't let that be your portion. What did I say? Don't let it be your portion. You will speak to yourself. You know, those days when we're praying, like one of the prayer sessions we had here, said David will say, my soul, you must talk to yourself. David will say, my soul, hope in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In the same manner, instruct yourself. Look in front of a mirror and say, you will not be lazy. You will not be lazy. People say, I don't have time. That has no meaning. That has no meaning. If you have a car, you are driving it, and you keep on saying, I don't have time. You don't go to service it. No problem. One day, it will hang you on the express road. May your life not hang you on the express road. Did I hear an amen? Yeah, because if you don't service it, it will hang you somewhere one day. Because you keep on saying, I don't have time. I don't have time. You must make the time. You must make the time. One day, disappoint a friend of yours. I didn't come for your wedding. I am sorry. I was at the seminar. Listen, there are things you do. God will know you are serious. He will put a spirit of organization into you after you have done that. If you keep on saying, you know, I don't have time. Your uncle is doing birthday. You went to. Your uncle's what? Birthday. And you know that's how many hours? 6 hours. From church service to reception in his house. The man just turned 60. I is my uncle. When I was very young, you know, was so nice to us. In fact, some of them were very wicked to you, but doesn't matter. He's still your uncle. So you leave your house on Sunday morning. 9 o'clock, you're in church. You worship with them for the next 2 hours. Then go to the house because you are a nephew or a niece. You are there carrying food and carrying drinks. And by the time you come back home, it is 6 o'clock. You are worn out. 9 hours for that day is your uncle. It's my best friend. Since we're young, then 3 days to plan the wedding. The day of the wedding, you get there first thing in the morning. Till night, you are there. And you feel like you have accomplished is your friend. Are you getting my point? It's my boss's daughter. It's our wedding day. We make time for everything. But when it's time, there's a special seminar. You have to go and get it. Get ready. No, it will take 2 days. I don't have time. Listen, look at it. But then how come you are able to make time for your boss's daughter's wedding? Why? Your job is important to you. Not even the job, the promotion. Because before a praiser comes, and the man look, this one is not for my daughter's wedding. You are afraid. Therefore, what do you do? You make the time. What am I trying to say? If it's important to you, you can make the time. Number one reason I'm discussing today on why people do not go for deeper truth is because of laziness and lack of value. Let me put it like that. Mike Murdock says, that which you don't respect, you don't attract. When we don't understand the value of it, therefore we don't put enough effort into it. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That's one of the reasons why we appear like we are lazy. All right? The main thing is that we don't understand the value of it. Now, let me see another thing, which my wife and I were discussing. I think I said a bit of it last time, which I want to say again today. You know, I said earlier, don't ever forget this. Let me just go by it like this. Your life is not an accident. Did I hear an amen? Let me say this to you again. Where God, listen, there are two kinds of people on this earth. There are people, there are Esau's, and there are Jacob's. Esau's are hardworking people. Most people who claim they don't believe in God and they are successful, are you getting me? They are what the Bible calls Esau's. And let me describe them for you again. That's the manifestation of a curse. Listen to what I'm saying. The other day I was watching Titans of Industry on CNBC Africa, and they were interviewing Ted Turner. And they said Ted Turner, that was the man who built CNN, all right? At the point in time, the man was worth over $10 billion. When Time Warner merged with AOL, he was worth over $10 billion. Then he lost most of the value of his company and all of that. At the point, it was now worth less than about a billion or two. And Ted Turner, there was a time he gave $1 billion to a United Nations aid agency or something like that. Now, Ted Turner, they said he had three wives. That's serial, you know, one after the other. And the women were probably nice people. He was just not a husband. You know why? Ted Turner used to work, I think, can't remember, is it 14 hours a day? I forgot the number of hours. 18 hours a day. The other 6 hours is for sleeping, eating, socializing, and everything. The work is 18 hours in a day. I want to quote a scripture for you. God didn't say to Adam, you will never succeed. He said, you will sweat before you succeed. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Adam fell, when God wanted to place a curse upon him, he said, for these things that you have done, you will eat bread from the sweat of your brow. So for a man to succeed is possible unless God is actively fighting him. There are people that there's a curse added to the curse of Adam upon them. Yes. The children of Israel had it now. You bring it home, I put holes in the bags. You understand my point? Yes. That's it. All right? But if God left things, nothing special, just the curse of Adam, men will still do well. The only difference is that they will expend their lives. And listen, life has value. I've told you that before. Spiritual things have value. Your life has value. That is, when I say value now, I don't mean it's precious. I know it's precious. That is, they can convert it to you if you're interested in certain ways of gold. I know what I'm saying. A normal human being, his life, if with spiritual keenness, you can plot it and check what it is worth in gold. I don't have time to discuss that in details. All right? So what happens, there are a lot of people, if you have to use your energy to succeed, you are converting your flesh, your life, your the substance, your soul to gold. So you will die one day suddenly. You are exhausted. I don't mean you are tired. I mean you are finished. I don't know whether you get my point. That is your life. They check the barrel. It is empty. Everything has been used up. You just be walking on the road one day. But you fall down there. What happened? The boy no remain again. You are getting me? Now, that is Esau, as I'm describing. That is who? Esau. Strong. Able. You get my point? Knowing all the business tricks. Knowing how to connect. Knowing how to scheme. Knowing everything. God said to Adam, you will still get enough bread if you sweat enough. Too much hard. You know, I told you before, Christians are supposed to work hard, but they're not supposed to work too hard. A Christian should get enough sleep every day. You're always awake at 12 midnight. Then you fall asleep at 1. Then by 5:30, you have woken up again. You will fall sick repeatedly. Why do you think people in Western world, they're always drinking coffee? Coffee to wake up, Valium to sleep. That's not normal. It is vain for a man to rise up early. It's vain. It's vanity. Now, Esau is like that. Esau can work very, very hard. But this is what Christianity is. It's the principle of Jacob. If you don't bless me, I won't let you go. That is, whatever I will become in life must be by the grace of God. What does that mean? I will live in houses I did not build. It's the word of God. That these people will set up. Listen, let me give you a prophetic word. When you see people stealing money, politicians, be angry for righteousness' sake. But inside you also, one corner should rejoice. Is that what you're talking about? Listen to me. Somebody will hear this and key into this. A house built for 200 million naira. One day, you will buy it for 20 million. One day. A man will build a company. He will have stolen money from NNPC subsidies, fuel subsidy. He was governor. He will steal. He will do everything. Build a big industry. Are you getting me? Total value, 2.5 billion. But God will remove the wisdom to run it from him. Then he will lose office, lose everything. Because, you know, don't catch that one. Don't catch him. If you catch him now, the company will now become like Cosmo in front of us there. Or no, Rainbow Net. You understand my point? Just a rot away. So don't catch this one. Lord will say, no catch. But I will put leanness into his soul. He won't be able to run it. The thing will be losing every day. Finally, in desperation, he will sell it for 150 million naira. And you will be ready. That's what it means to live in houses that you did not build. Go and read the scriptures where it says it's a job he has given sinners to labor and gather, that he might give over to the one that's pleasing to God. That's a matter of fact. I'm going somewhere. So you see, the life of a Christian is the life of grace. It's not the life of Esau. At all, it's the life of Jacob. The refined Jacob, not the crooked Jacob. The promise upon Jacob is what Christians reach for. I want to explain. So you find out that, listen, no matter how much you have the ability to plan concerning your life, God has planned something better for you. Did you hear what I said? And listen, he will carry you into that place by the power of grace. Now, if you believe that, therefore, what you do is that you make sure you tap into the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And then give you your own inheritance. Please, I hope you are following what I'm explaining. Look, it's something you must bear in mind. So listen, when Christians want to advance, they first retreat. Because they are not advancing by their strength. So they must go back home and discover what is the next word. Are you getting my point? And listen. I said spiritual things, that's the way they work. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that the things that are seen do not necessarily come out of things that are visible. The man, the woman who will do well as a Christian. No, you say, I said there are Esau's. The problem this is that a lot of Christians are now learning the ways of Esau. Nine, if we are reading business books, 9 out of 10, they are Esau-ic principles. How to operate under a curse and succeed. They don't write it as a title. But that's the principle. Listen, going to a business bookshop, including most of our Christian bookshops, they have business sections. Have you not seen? I have scanned most of those books. Most of them are how to succeed while operating under an Adamic curse. That's what they are. They are principles of how to succeed, even though the curse of God is upon your life. You don't want it. That's what the problem is. Christians have adhered to that principle. But what are they supposed to do? Listen, spiritual things, if the light of God lights up in your soul, eventually it will manifest outside as his blessing. Do you get my point? Listen, I told you the inheritance of... Look, I'm going somewhere. I'm talking about why people don't go for deeper truths, but I need to explain this one so as to create a long throat, like we say, for you, for truth. For revelation, for understanding. Some people, why they can't move forward, God says, you are not sleeping enough. You are not sleeping enough. That's the only reason why your business is not doing well. You're not sleeping enough. You've learned every principle. God says, you don't understand. This sleep, you must first sleep it. Because if you don't sleep the way you are going, instead of prospering for 50 years, you will manage for 13 years, and then everything will just go wrong. And people won't know that his foundation is that this guy is disobeying one scripture every day. It is vain for him to rise up early and go to bed late. And every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. Are you getting my point? I'm going to create something, all right? A test inside you, all right? That's what we need. So to move from one level to another. And listen, let me say another thing. It is not every time that the word is always a direct word about your career, a direct word about your ministry, a direct word about your business.